In April of 2019, Mo Asimong, a German actor, activist, and filmmaker of German and Ghanaian descent, visited the College of Charleston campus. Dr. Nancy Neno, professor of German at the College of Charleston, got to talk with her about her most recent documentary, The Aryans. The film depicts her quest to understand the origins and the meaning of the term Aryan. She recently published an account of the making of the film, Mo and the Aryans, Alone Among Racists and Neo-Nazis, and her experiences talking with neo-Nazis in Germany, the ethnic Aryans in Iran, and the Ku Klux Klan in the American South. Mo Asimong is particularly involved in School Without Racism, School with Courage, an organization dedicated to engaging young people in an ongoing discussion about racialism and anti-Semitism, right-wing extremism, and chauvinism. In December 2019, Mo Asimong was awarded the Order of Merit of the Federal Republic of Germany for her commitment to combating racism and xenophobia. I hope you enjoy.
Talking about these things can free also your soul and the pain you have very deep inside. It's somewhere hidden, but you don't know where it's hidden. But through talking, you can transform this pain into something good. So you can use the bad in order to transform it into something strong. And I think that's very, very helpful for one person as well as for the whole society.
I know that you are on book tour at the moment.
Yes.
With your new book. What is it called?
It's called Mo and the Aryans. Very provocative, but in the book I also write about the real Aryans, of course.
And who are the real Aryans?
Well, it's not what you think it is. What you think it is would be tall, blonde, and blue-eyed, what the German National Socialists told the Germans. But in reality, if you look at the name Iran, it means land of the Aryans, so people who are from Iran are the Aryans. It's about all my meetings with neo-Nazis and racists and Ku Klux Klan members. It's about my family background. My grandmother was with the Nazi SS, yeah. She was a class one writer. And yeah, about all these things. So it's much, much more.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you do actually go into not just your family history, but your own personal history with racism prior mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. the making of this film.
Yes. And also in the film, you see me in the dark, yeah, trying to find some Ku Klux Klan members, yeah. But you don't see how I feel, and you don't see what I think, and how did I prepare all the things.
Was there something in particular that prompted you to write the book?
Actually, I wanted to stop talking to racists, really, because I thought my goal was to get rid of my fear, and it worked. So, because after meeting so many neo-Nazis, I have a different approach, and the fear of these people is gone. So now I try to talk to them, and I want to talk to them, and I'm more open than before, not running on the other side of the street and running away. And actually, I thought I have my goal, so what can I do? I do new projects, yeah, that's what I do anyway. But I want to leave something for the people so they know the whole story, more or less. Yeah,
that's and, why. And what has the reaction been to in Germany about the book?
Everybody was screaming and writing to me, and everybody wanted me to make a reading there. And yeah, so again, I had to talk about this topic, yeah. Actually, I didn't want to, because after a while it also makes you stay. You're somehow stuck in that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I really, for myself, I really need to do other projects at the site and not so much only focused on racism.
Obviously, at this point in time, there are a lot of political reasons to continue to focus on racism.
I know, and that's the thing. I can't leave the topic now. I have to. I'm forced, because the situation now is that we maybe can be very afraid of the future. What will happen if more of the right-wing people race and the right-wing parties race? So we might lose our democracy and our freedom and our openness, and yeah, I don't want that.
So when you talk about the right-wing parties, can you talk a little bit about which ones they are and what differentiates them? Are they connected to each other? Because Germany obviously is a very different political system than the US.
Yeah, we tend to say the Nazis, yeah, that's how we talk about races, the Nazis, yeah, or the racists. But there is not such a the racist or the Nazi, because it's a very colorful, quote-unquote, colorful society. There are many different people who have racist ideas and different ways how they approach their target. And we have a political party at the moment in Germany, the AfD. And the AfD is what they say a democratic party, which I think is not true. And they have connections to all different parts of neo-Nazis. And that is so threatening, because when you see them in the parliament, you think, okay, those people have power. Those people get money from the society, from the people of Germany to do their work. And if you look behind, you see the connection to people who are violent, people who tell their servants, I would say servants, to tell their servants to kill other people, to burn houses and all these things. So there is a really very strong connection into a violent scene. So we have to be very careful about these people and have to put an eye on them.
And what about Pegida?
Well, Pegida is still there, but it's not as strong as it was when the whole thing started, because we talked about it in the society, in the talk shows and all this. So people were also going on the street, marching against Pegida. So wherever there was Pegida, Legida, Kögida, or whatever, we had the counterpart, the people who demonstrated about them, against them, were much stronger in larger groups. And yeah, they're always looking for something they can destroy. Actually, what they want is they want to divide us people. That's what they want. And now they found a new thing, the Islamic part, yeah. And it's always something else. The next thing is like the identity movement. They use culture to divide us, because they say people with another culture is not good for Germany. So they are always looking for something.
Well, one of the questions that came up last night is something I'd like to pursue a little bit. Because I don't think that most of us in America really understand the difference between our First Amendment freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. And Germany does have freedom of speech, but there are limitations.
Yes, there are limitations, and that's really good. I mean, not on every part, but especially when it comes to our history connected to the National Socialists, we have a totally different relation to that topic. It's in our bones. It's in our thoughts. It's in our hearts, and it's everywhere. So if we would let a person wear a swastika, mm-hmm. yeah, that's freedom of speech to walk on the street with a swastika. We couldn't handle that, and it's not like a B movie thing, like in the US people wear these SS coats, and then they walk on the street, and they feel strong, or I don't know what, and for us it looks like a theater play. Yes, it's a theater play, and it.
So it's more performative than actual.
Yeah, because you don't get the connection to the reality, to what really had happened. Mm-hmm. Because if you think further, it's not the SS suit or hat or the swastika only. We think further, and we already see a concentration camp, dead bodies, Jewish people, millions of Jewish people who have been killed because of that. And we don't see it like a play. It's not a game.
Right,
it's
so reality. you can actually anticipate it because mm-hmm. the culture has lived through it.
Yes, yeah. And in America, of course, you know about this, but your family has no background into that topic. So that is totally different.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly.
It's interesting because the topic, of course, now is the rise of white nationalism in the U.S. And particularly here in the South, of course, around the Confederacy and the monuments to Confederate mm-hmm. warriors and heroes. Do you have any suggestions for how Americans could possibly start to think about going about doing precisely what the Germans do, think through their history?
I think you can be like experts on this topic, racism, because of your history. And that's the same like in Germany. We are experts now. We are not victims of that time or followers or whatever. We are like experts, and we use our knowledge to give it to other countries, to give it to our kids in the school, and to make them aware what is the end of this road, which starts maybe with a very little saying, oh, go back to Africa. Yeah, that's a small a sentence, but you know where racism can end. And we're not trying to live the negative side of it. We try to focus on the positive things, mm-hmm. and dig very deep into that topic with our children, and see what the children make out of that, mm-hmm. and how they transform also our all background and our history. because they now can also transform our history in a different way, because now they live in a different time, but maybe with the same problems. Mm-hmm. And they can also transform it from a different angle. And I think in America, you can do the same. Talking about these things can free also your soul and the pain you have very deep inside. It's somewhere hidden, but you don't know where it's hidden. But through talking, you can transform this pain into something good. So you can use the bad in order to transform it into something strong. And I think that's very, very helpful for one person as well as for the whole society. And as long as I see a little child having fear of neo-Nazis or having fear to live just a normal life in Germany, as long as I see that, I have to fight.
This podcast is a production of the College of Charleston's Teaching and Learning Team.